Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, welcome, welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. We got some of our regular diners scooting up to the table. I really want to thank everybody who's subscribing to the show. We've got people from all over the world checking us out, and we really want to thank you for just checking in and being just part of the cafe. I think it's just so wonderful. And Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing really well. Thank you so much for asking you.
I am doing great. Thanks for asking as well. How's San Diego tonight?
You know, last I saw, it was beautiful. The only problem is with it getting more beautiful, they're having more car accidents.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yeah, doesn't it seem like there's just more traffic than there used to be? I've noticed that lately, too.
It's because of the water shortage. I know it.
You think so? I don't know how it would be related. Well, everything's related to everything. So when you say, how could that be related to the water shortage? I'm sure somehow it's related.
I'm not being serious.
But, you know, everything's related to everything. So, hopefully we'll get a few more diners, but that's okay. Gloria and I always have really wonderful and interesting conversations, and I'm always glad when she joins us here in the Transformation Cafe. So tonight we're going to be talking about positive psychology, and there's all kinds of really wonderful information out there. The web is just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's just like everything, we really utilizing it for the tools and wonderful things that it can have. We'll actually talk about that a little bit later, about things that having to do with technology and design and entertainment and things like that, and how they can be really helping to boost and keep the skills of happiness just increasing. So I had sent a TED Talk to Gloria and also Jamie, which is one of our regular diners as well, and Andrew and my sister Amy, a few people, to encourage them to see if they'd like to jump on the show. But really, it's for the speaker is Martin Seligman, and he was the president of the National Psychology for a little while there, back in 2008, I believe. And then this is pretty much when they had the psychology talk. So it's interesting that it was back in 2008. Here we're in 2015, 7 years ago, and they're talking about this new era of psychology and just all the things that they're finding out about, you know, positive thought, about being in a place of happiness and having it be something that we really can strive at, because it's definitely skills that you can learn in being able to help yourself to just be in a more positive state, catching yourself in a positive state. So, Gloria, with what you were able to glean from that so far, what did you think of that TED Talk?
I thought it was, what I was able to be able to watch, I thought that it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You were going to share something about NPR that you'd seen today that you were sharing before we got on the air?
Well, one of the things that he mentioned when he began the talk was talking about the prefrontal cortex and the visualization of it, and utilizing that for visualization on our environment and what we expect and happiness skills. And yet, I was listening to NPR this morning, and they started coming out with a finding that there is a machine that they use that's similar in concept to an MRI. It's a magnetic machine that, when all else has failed in the sense of pharmaceuticals and counseling for people who are in serious depression, they have this machine that applies magnetic impulses to the prefrontal cortex that helps to bring people back into a space of feeling happy.
Hmm.
So I found it very fascinating, you know, that it's things that are being talked about that are addressing the prefrontal cortex. It's almost like it's banging up on you.
So it's like a shock therapy?
It's not a shock therapy. It's applying magnet. I haven't I only heard about it today, so I haven't really looked at it, but my understanding is that it's an application of a magnetic impulse.
Oh, okay.
And so shock
working
therapy
with a magnetic field,
it,
okay,
it has a
frequencies.
Whole different process.
Mm-hmm.
When you do shock therapy, because that's electricity that's directly stimulated, you know, into the brain. And so this is magnetics, while they are electrical, I believe they are electrical in nature. Again, I have to do some more research. So it's just that it's applied specifically to the prefrontal cortex. And I'm not sure where the electroshock therapies are. So it would require a lot more research
uh-huh.
for me to be able to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of what sometimes I don't remember if I saw it in a commercial or something, but somebody grabbed a magnet off their refrigerator and stuck it on their forehead and told them and said that it helped them feel better.
Well, you know, they've promoted magnets for headache relief and for not sinus but severe migraine
uh-huh.
headache. The manufacturers of the medical magnetics, they've been promoting magnetic therapy for those kind of maladies now for many years.
Oh, many years. I would think, they saw any kind of benefits of magnetism.
More than I know, as far back as I can remember.
Yeah, well, I think it's way back further than us. What do you want to bet? I think that's totally true. That's totally true. One thing I really liked about this video with this TED Talk was that he was talking about positive intervention. And I just thought that was such an interesting way of putting it. When you think of interventions, it's usually drug-related or some kind of, you know, unapproving behavior, but it's totally flipping the coin here and making it to where it's positive. So I thought that was really, really thought-provoking and a cool idea to be putting it out there. So part of the stuff that Martin does, and he's actually known as Marty, they do, if you go to authentichappiness.org, there's actually a series of tests you can take to see how happy you are. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. You think you kind of know how happy you are, but it looks at different aspects of the way that you look at life and things like that to be able to determine, you know, are you fooling yourself or are you actually happy? And what they did was, you know, over the time of psychology, they've always studied the negative aspects of things to make things better. And then it dawned on them about 8 years ago, 10 years ago, that, you know, hey, maybe we should be, you know, studying extremely happy people and seeing what's working for them. And what's the difference between what we've known when it comes to levels of emotional states to having somebody being, you know, extremely happy. And what they found was kind of an interesting thing because they were looking at just the different aspects of it. They actually said there was three happy ways that you can look at it differently. And these are really what they kind of talk about with the different interventions and stuff. And as we kind of get into this, there's actually some different exercises and things that you can do for yourself. So anytime you want to jump in with any of these thoughts on stuff, Gloria, just you go right ahead, girl. So the first one that they talked about was just having a pleasant experience, having a pleasant life. And the whole idea is you would just go ahead and put as much positive emotion and thought into your life as possible. And you would really use skills that would help you to amplify that. So like examples of that would be, you know, you'd savor when you had a really positive experience. You'd just milk it to where you were just really that much more enjoying it and really taking it from a level of appreciation. And if you go back to our last show, which was the three A's of awesomeness, and that was really coming from another TED Talk that I'd seen that was about this young man that had started to do 1,000 awesome things. You can go to his website, and every day there's some simple thing that really we take for granted for so much and just really recognize it for the awesome thing that it really has. And Gloria was brilliant and said, instead of threes, we need to make it a four. And the fourth is actually appreciation. So the three awesomes were attitude, awareness, and being authentic. And she said, you know, I think we really need to bring in appreciation too. And I really agree with that. So Because we have to come from that level of being able to appreciate what's in front of us. I think that's part of the happiness, too, is really, again, coming from that positive, emotional looking at things, and appreciation is definitely a part of that, being able to look at it in a way of, you know, how does it really help my life to be better, and just really taking it on the simple level that it is. So did you have any more to think about that with those awesome things that we had last week, Gloria?
Well, not about the awesome, but what I would like to add is that, you know, I was reminded, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, and one of the things, you know, you talk about projection, the prefrontal cortex and the projection and living in happiness and the awareness is all good. And as you're talking, my thoughts were going through teaching our children by not about consciously teaching them to be happy, but creating an environment so that it becomes, happiness becomes a state of being, and the other states are in flux, and yet happiness is the one that is constantly brought back to the forefront, so that that's what they look towards in life, and it becomes more of a habit. But in addition to that, then I got to thinking about the conversation I had, and you know, one of the ways that I tend to look at life in general is based on a Mary Poppins song. And
oh, really?
It had to do with when they needed to clean up their room, and they were saying that in every job there must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, mm-hmm. and you have the game. And so, you know, I have always looked at things I have to do, and even if I may have the initial reaction of like, oh my gosh, I really don't want to do this, then, mm-hmm. you know, it now is an autonomic function, having done it so long. Even though I have that flash for a moment, I autonomically, it's like I don't even have to think about it, I autonomically then go, okay, well, where's the fun? You know, let's mm-hmm. get this done and get out of the way so that I don't have to continue to do it. Because when we stand around and moan about things, it makes them last longer. And so mm-hmm. if we can find the fun, if we can get through it and be done with it, we can move on and move beyond it so that we can move into things that we really believe make us happy. And again, it's a perception and a thought process. It's all interpretation as to what makes us happy. I mean, I can sit and eat horseradish on corned beef cabbage and be really happy because of the brain freeze, whereas mm-hmm. somebody else may not like it.
Yeah. Or they're like, why would I want a brain freeze?
And for me, I love that sensation. It's in the sinuses and in the front of the head. I love it.
Well, it's so, just like people who like really hot food, you know what I mean? It's so hot, they're
know.
Just like crying because it's so hot, but still they just love it, you know?
They do.
Yeah, or some, you know, same thing when you drink, you have a shake or a Slurpee or something, and you same thing, get the brain freeze kind of thing going on. So it's those extremes that you experience for the, you know, set that up for an experience in your body. So, but that
so
was
coming,
a really great.
So coming at it from the perspective of everything is perception, you know, it's how do we want to change our perception so that we are happy at everything we're doing?
Right. Well, that's a really good segue, because the second one that they talk about is a life of engagement. And engagement really has to do with those things that you love, you know, when it comes to your work or parenting or just with these experiences where your time just stands still. When you get to that point when you're doing something that you really enjoy and it just seems like, you know, hours have gone by, but when you look up at the clock, you're like, my gosh, I think I've only been doing this for a few minutes or an hour, when it's been like hours that you've experienced that. It's when we get into that flow that really can bring a lot of joy into people's lives. And what they thought was real interesting with some of the research that they talked about with flow, there's actually three or four other TED Talks on flow, and just there's countless books out on it now, because people have really just really seen, you know, when you get into the zone, I like to think of it as the zone as well, because, you know, with the athletes when they're on, you know, on the perfect game or the perfect run, or they're just in a zone where, you know, time does stand still, that, you know, time just no longer has really an element to the experiences that you do. And they said that, you know, how you really get into your flow is being able to just know what your top strengths are and being able to really focus on your life where you're doing those things that much more. So here you're talking about, you know, you're going to, you know, make life a game and doing something in a task that you wouldn't necessarily want to do. You make the game out of it. That's really kind of what we're talking about when it comes to being engaged in something, is taking your strengths in the way that you would do it. One of the examples that they had was this lady who was a checker at a grocery store where, you know, she'd bag groceries. Wasn't necessarily the thing that she really enjoyed, but yet she found, you know, one of her high skills is that she's really a very social person. And being social, she really took that into really knowing the customer or getting involved with the customer. Besides just putting groceries in a bag, she really interacted with each person and just made that an event for each person that she, you know, talked to, and had it where, you know, networking and just engaging and just being personable to people. She really found that her job was that much more, you know, pleasant for her and satisfying, because she molded it into something that was one of her skills and one of her preferences anyway. So that makes perfect sense when it comes to something like that. So it's, you know, everybody has the capabilities of being in flow. And another thing too is when they find people, another example was this guy who was he worked on the stock market, and he very much was a numbers guy. So when it came to personality skills and things like that, some people would even call him a cold fish, because that wasn't one of his strengths, was being, you know, that social. But yeah, when it came to, you know, working with numbers and being in the stock market, time just would stand still for him, because he was in this mode of really enjoying what he was doing, and he was very good at it. I mean, it was, you know, in the middle of his mid-20s, he wanted to becoming a millionaire, because he was just so good at numbers and being able to be very good at what he did for a job. So it goes into that where he was being very engaged, and he was very happy. He was happy because he was in that mode of what he did really well with his gifts and talents. So that's a really good point to, like you said, being able to get into that. And I keep thinking, when going back to the three A's with the awesome stuff, it's that, you know, when you said, you know, the same thing, you know, being aware of what my gifts and talents are and my attitude about it, like you're saying, how am I thinking about that? And then really coming from being authentic, like, you know, what does make me happy? What helps me to move into where, time does stand still for me, because I'm doing things that I enjoy, and in the joy is the happiness. You know, you can't really have one without the other. So have you found that when it comes to just stuff that you're engaged in, that you just time just disappears?
Well, you know, this is a perfect segue, because I was going to say, for those people who really want to experience it before they figure out how to make it happen, mm-hmm. there is a Star Trek movie where Jean-Luc Picard is going out to save a planet where all of the people never age. And there is this one moment in the movie where you experience time stopping.
Oh, wow.
And it is such a visceral experience. As you watch the movie, you just sit there and you just know the time has stopped. It's an amazing experience.
Hmm.
I wish I knew the name of the movie offhand, but I'd have to go look it up.
Okay, that's intriguing to me. It's like, yeah, just to have that experience and have that something like that. So, you know, and I'm sure you probably get it in HD, 3D. Well, you know how that goes.
And that way,
so really,
and that
you
way
can
people
feel that
can
much more, you know, of an impact for yourself.
And that way people can experience it before they learn how to do it, so they know what they're looking for when they get it.
Yeah, and that's part of it too, I think, is just getting those little tastes of it. So you really, once you do have it, you can just say, oh, this is what it feels like, and being able to just create it for yourself. That's just, you know, that's a perfect thing to be knowing about that too. So the third thing that they talk about is having a meaningful life. And it's about knowing what your highest strengths are and then using them in the service of something that's larger than you. And I always think of the Dalai Lama when he talked about that, when he said, you know, if you're feeling inadequate, or you're feeling sad, or you're feeling like there's something, people aren't giving you what you need, the thing that you want that you're needing, you give it to someone else. Because in giving to someone else, it's like a full circle of the amount of loving energy that really can come back to you. And that's, you know, when it comes to service and being able to give that to another, you receive it yourself. So it makes it really satisfying to have it, you know, coming that way. And it's also very positive. And they found actually that was more important in the meaning of life than it was, you know, just even to have pleasant experiences or to be engaged, but really coming from a level of that self-service and putting it out there for other people. But that was really the one thing that really helped with people being able to come from just having those skills of happiness, because they were totally coming from a level of giving to receive. And I think that's just a wonderful thing to be looking at.
And one of the simplest examples that I have of that for me is when I go to the grocery store, I always dislike having to look for a basket. You walk in and those little black baskets or the little red baskets that you go around and you just put on your arm, it's like, I want to go in, get out, get my stuff. And invariably, when I have to look for one of those little baskets, it just becomes very annoying. So what I decided to do is to create a full circle process. I find the basket, and especially if it's right where I begin with, I use the basket. I come through the checkout lane. I do not stick it under the counter. And if it's a push cart, if I take it to the car, I then make a point to take it back to the point of where I would have looked for it originally, so that someone else does not have to go through that experience. And the sense of satisfaction of completion of a full cycle, it's very rewarding. And it's so small.
Yeah, and it is very small, but yet it's just one of those awesome things that you can just be appreciating that I had exactly what I needed when I came in the grocery store. It was right there for me to be able to pick it up and do what I needed to do. You know, this has nothing to do with what we're, well, I think it has to do with what we're talking about when it comes to levels of happiness. The other day, my husband Andy and I were going through a grocery store, and all of a sudden, you know, the electric doors come popping open, and this guy comes on an electric scooter, and, you know, with people who are handicapped and stuff like that. So he had his own personal scooter, and he comes in the door, and he goes around the outside of the whole market, works his way all the way around, and then he goes out the other side, sets of doors. He made it like a little detour in his trip around the little mall area that he was going through. I thought that was so great. And he had the biggest smile on his face, like he was getting away with something. It was so funny. We zipped in the doors and then, you know, went the full length of the grocery store and zipped back out again. It was very cute. So, you know, because some people, they were thinking, well, why would that be a big deal? But, I mean, just you know, the playfulness of, you know, I'm going to go check out the market right now. You know, he was just so cute about it. It was really cute.
That, and it could be a big deal because he nicked it from his dad and he was taken off and taking it on a joyride.
Well, I don't know. He was an older gentleman, so he must have had a really old dad. He looked like a little boy
He nicked it from his friend, and so he was being
mischievous. Yeah, or something. I don't know, but it was quite the little scooter too. So, you know, it had a little basket on it and everything. I'm surprised it didn't have like a little horn. I didn't look that closely at it. I was more surprised by the way he popped in the two opening doors and then when it worked his way to the back of the shop, you know, the grocery store and come back. So anyway, the playfulness of that was just really wonderful for happiness.
That brings up another aspect of being happy. Being happy with someone else's joy, you know, experiencing their happiness vicariously to make you happy. And you can look everywhere for somebody who's in happiness, and you can then sense and feel being happy for them because they're happy. And not let go of jealousy, let go of a sense of lack. It helps to turn the attitudes and the belief systems that we have on an energetic as well as a physiological level, because it goes into the muscle tissue, it goes into the nerve tissue, it goes into the brain from a psychological standpoint, and it just permeates the body. So the goal of looking for happiness in others and being happy for their joy is also another way to start changing an attitude within yourself.
Yeah, and that's really a good reminder for me, because one of the things that they were talking about was when it comes to happiness, it was talking about your health and also the aging process. And when, you know, people who were happier were healthier. They didn't age as fast. They found people that, you know, when they practice happiness, that they've really stopped the aging process. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm, you know, there's a show way back when I did, you know, laughter yoga and talking about how laughter is just so beneficial and helping to balance the body and just coming from just being able to laugh because you can have expressions of joy. So there's all kinds of things out there that can really help you to be, you know, be in that positive state, be in that place where you're practicing and really giving yourself the opportunity to be able to laugh and to find the joy and happiness that's out there. So just really, just this is such a great time. Like I said, you know, it's only been going on for maybe about 8 years when they've really been looking at positive psychology. So before we have time, we've got about maybe 5 minutes left. I wanted to go through some of the positive exercises. They call them positive interventions, actually. These are the some of the different things that they have on there. So any comments with you again, Gloria, would be great. So one of the first ones is they call it, you know, setting up your perfect day. So you would, you know, think about how you might be savoring or using mindfulness to, for different experiences you have and focusing maybe on the pleasure and the engagements of things. And then you would set up, you'd say, okay, next Saturday, and you make a list of all the things that you're going to do that would, for you, would be just be the perfect day. And as you go through those different experiences and just situations that you put yourself into, you would be just really, you know, slowing down and looking at it and just thinking about the awesomeness of it, just the small things that are just amazing. They're just amazing that you're able to be able to have aspects where you've set that up for yourself. And they said that's a really wonderful thing because it's you're setting yourself up to be positive. You're setting yourself up to just have this, you know, wonderful, beautiful day. And I would put on there as well is, you know, having that plan B, you know, because sometimes when people set things up and then it doesn't turn out the way they've had it in their mind, it's just kind of having an openness that, you know, you would set this up or something even better is going to happen because, you know, I'm going to do this, but something even more amazing could happen to me. And I'm going to have a spaciousness that I could, you know, invite that in and see what happens. So there's a sense of surprise and a sense of an invitation for just the universe to bring you something even better. So anything with that, Gloria, you want to say?
No.
Okay. I want to be like one thing thinking we should try some of these and then have a follow-up show. But I think that sounds, you know, pretty wonderful. And I think it's a good practice, too, because, like, one of the things I wanted to talk about with that, too, is in the artist way with Julia Cameron, which is a practice where you would really help with your artistic self. There's an exercise that's like a weekly exercise called the artist state. And the artist state would be, you know, you're driving around all the time during the week and then you notice this little store that you've never gone to, but there's something intriguing about it. And you make a time where you just take yourself by yourself and you would go and check that store out, whether it's for arts and crafts or a book, you know, a library, maybe it's a movie or something that you feel interested in. You just allow yourself to take yourself out on a date. And really experience that. And when I do that, I find it just to be that much more of an enriching experience. I'll find something that I didn't know about myself or find something I didn't know about, you know, a particular thing that just really enriches my life. And I, you know, if I hadn't allowed myself or given my, you know, made sure I made the intention of being to make that special time for myself to go experience something new that I'd never done before, I never would know that about myself. I think that's just a really wonderful thing to be able to have as a, you know, be a perfect date or just, you know, an enriching situation for yourself. So I think that's a really cool one. So another one is called the gratitude visit.
And if you do it and you find that you didn't enjoy it, you can still find a learning experience from it. I went to the beach on Sunday. Just for a couple of hours, and I dozed off. It was just absolutely beautiful. And then there was this loud buzzing noise. Someone who was standing on the hillside had one of those new drones and just kept it over my head. It was like directly over my head, and it woke me up. And I was quite annoyed. And then I looked at it, and I just went, well, I guess I'm supposed to wake up and get going.
There you go. See, and that's what a happy person does. They look at the positive aspects of that and they turn it around. Instead of being annoyed, they recognize that it's your little, you know, it's your little alarm to get up and do something else. Yeah, exactly. So another one was called the gratitude visit. And you're encouraged to remember someone in your life who's done something that was really important and positive for you and in a way that really helped to change your life. And then you go ahead and write a thank you note to them, you know, pretty lengthy, like, you know, 300 words about that person. Make it like a testimonial or a thank you. And you'd go ahead and write that. And then you'd call that person and set up a time when you could visit them. And then without them knowing you're going to do it ahead of time, you go ahead and read it to them and be able to do that testimonial and a thank you to them. And they said that that was a very long-lasting thing for people.
I have a better take on that.
Okay.
One of the companies that I was working for, part of our exercise process was that all of the students in the room over the time period that we were there, we put up envelopes that had our names on them and decorated however we wanted to, and we put them on the wall with thumbtacks. And throughout the course of the program, we would take 3x5 note cards and we would just jot down a quick thing about how that person had impacted us and made a positive experience for us. And saying anything nice that we wanted to about that person, or it could be anything, but it was always heartfelt. And then you get the cards, you take the envelope down at the end, and you get all these cards. I still have all of mine, and it's really very heartwarming to go back and go, oh my, this person saw that in me.
Yeah, that reminds me of Abraham Lincoln. They said part of his belongings when, you know, when he had passed, in his wallet was an article from a reporter from England who had written about how amazing a president he was and all the different contributions and things that he was doing while he was in office. And they said that it was interesting because that article, you could tell that it had been opened and closed many times. So it was a confirmation for me that people were seeing him, and he was being known in other places of the world and as being someone who was really accomplishing great things for the country. And, I mean, you know, talk about all the different challenges he had during his presidency.
Well, think about how hard a job that is, and if you don't have people who are constantly there to encourage you, it's very worthwhile to have those things that can support you so that you can continue to have the strength to carry on and to know that you're moving in a good direction.
And the last one that they had was called a strength date. But I think it's just a really good, and I think you probably have another way of doing this one too, but it was kind of based more with couples, where couples would make a list of all the things that they felt were their strengths, and then they would go out on a date and they would work to having those things in the forefront of the way that they would interact with one another. They would use their strengths as a part of their date with one another, you know, whether they were, you know, more social or whatever.
Right. And that's different yet similar. In the example that I have, I once coached someone and did it myself, where if you have someone that, you know, people always say, well, I want someone who has this quality or that quality. And recognizing what it is you want is really great. And yet recognizing what you have to give in exchange is even more important. So for everything that you want, finding a balance of what you can bring to the table to share. And I would say that, you know, bringing that forth, and that's, you know, who you are and your strengths. And so it goes along the same venue, and yet it has a little bit of a twist to it because it's about finding balance and making sure that you're not just looking for someone to provide happiness or an aspect into your life as to what you want to fill your void, but to look at how you can help to support and fill the void that others also have.
Now, usually when you're talking in relationship counseling, the one thing that they always really remind couples about is the only one you can change is you. And
right.
So when it comes to, you know, looking to another person to make you happy or whatever, you know, that's something they might be able to assist you with. But the bottom line is it's, you know, your happiness is an inside job. And
yes.
Helping yourself to get what you really need in the world. So this is a great topic and positive topic, very positive. So we just really want to encourage everybody, you know, just really be looking at, you know, ways that you can make life more meaningful, being engaged in those timeless things that just bring you joy and being able to share that with others and, you know, have it being something where all these pleasant experiences can really just be the whipped cream and the cherry with all the other ways when it comes to levels of serving others and having it being bigger than us. And that's really some of the secrets and the skills that really come from being able to be in happiness. We want to thank you, Miss Gloria, and really encourage everybody, if you've got any questions or comments or ideas for another show, we really would ask you to go ahead and leave them in the comments and let us know what you think about all that. So we want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.